Yep.
Okay, we'll call this meeting of the Conservation Commission, October 15th, to order. We're in the boardroom of the Senior Center in Newburyport. First item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of September 17.
No comment?
No.
Motion?
All fine.
Motion, accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next item, Plum Island updates.
Okay, I'll just give you a quick Plum Island update. Just what I have right now is just an update on the berm that was placed out there along Reservation Terrace about a month ago. And over this past weekend with the storm that we had, we lost about half of the material that was placed. I have some photos that you can kind of see. I'll pass them around, but it's not good. It took out the fencing and the sign and basically just ate a huge chunk out of what the city had placed out there. So the neighbors are concerned again, as you can imagine. And we've got another storm coming this week, but hopefully it won't be as bad in terms of coastal erosion because we don't have an astronomical high tide, but still you never know. So
that was last, just the couple days ago?
This was just this past Friday, Saturday, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that didn't really even hit us. It kind of like, it stayed a little bit further offshore than they were expecting.
Exactly.
Yeah, the people who were over there, the surf was just amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I think it must have been a combination of the high tide and the wind. Because it was windy.
Yeah, this picture got cut off. It shows, this picture showed the length of the berm and how it almost looks like something just took a bite out of it. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know.
Now, there was like two berms. There was a front berm and then there was a rear one closer to the houses. Did they do both?
Well, now there's just one. Yeah. And it's the one that's closer to the houses because the front one is gone already. So we had the rear one, which was done about a year ago or a year and a half ago, and that was right along Reservation Terrace, really close to the houses. That's the same one that we just put more sand on top of, and that's the one that just got scooped out. So it is not a good spot right now. You can see the ropes and the fencing that got already pulled out on there. So we'll have to talk about it during our next MRBA meeting, which I'm not sure when it is.
I missed the last one.
Okay, yeah.
Scheduled. I don't think anything's scheduled.
We didn't schedule it. Yeah, they'll have to send us an email.
So long term, since you go to all those meetings, what's the plan? Just keep throwing sand out there as long as there's money to pay for it? Watch it wash away?
Some discussion about the next channel dredging, that the material could be placed there. Mm-hmm. So you'd have a...
You mean the dredging spoils from the channel?
The middle back.
So you'd have a large quantity, kind of what happened.
So you just have the labor cost of that, that's not the material.
Yeah, we'd have to pay for the difference in cost between them sending the Army Corps, just placing it offshore and just putting it on the beach. So whatever the difference in cost is what the city would have to pay. But before they do, before we get to that point, is that the way that one works? With the 204?
Yeah, they have to do a 204.
The 204.
They have
study.
To just decide that placing the material there creates a significant benefit, the cost benefit, such that it makes sense to do it, and then they share the cost.
Yeah, that's a long...
It seems like a never-ending...
Yeah. At the same time, I think that eventually we'll end up looking at the jetty and modifications potentially to the jetty if we could lobby Army Corps of Engineers, because that's what's creating... This understanding is that that's what's creating the situation with the loss of sand.
You said you were thinking of moving the jetty?
Not moving it, but modifying it. And I'm, don't quote me on this, but they're still studying it. Army Corps, I mean, DCR has a study going on right now with some consultants that are looking at what's happening with the circulation of the water right in the mouth there and why. And it's possible that a solution, once they get collect and finish analyzing the data, then a solution could be to make a weir in the jetty to break up some of the currents that are causing this sort of like swirling effect that keeps eroding that.
Would that sort of be to the detriment of the purposes of the jetty in the first place though?
No, it would be called, well, they actually, Army Corps actually constructs jetties like that on purpose. They're called weir jetties, where they actually, to prevent exactly this thing from happening, they construct jetties that have like these openings in them to let enough water through that will break up currents like this. They didn't look at that when they built ours.
So. For all those years when the jetty was damaged, the sand would go right through it or over it. Mm-hmm. So the source was there. When they fixed it, they stopped the source, so it's been starving that area. It's just not getting, it's not stable, and that's the problem.
It's both things. It's a source of sand and a source.
So, is there like a timeline on when the Army Corps might be reviewing that? Or?
No, that could be a really long time, I would think. But
you know, if they do this kind of thing, and that is, well, that'll bring more sand into that area. Will it be to the detriment of the southern part of the island?
Not really, because the sand goes in two directions.
Right. Yeah.
So the sand that's going north, there wouldn't be as big a buildup, right?
Right.
But
because we used to have problems on that side.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be, but I don't think that area has ever been as starved as this area.
Yeah. And maybe
although right at the center, it was pretty bad.
Well, the center had the problem.
Yeah.
And it kind of changed where the point was.
Yeah, it was
going further north, and now it's further south, where it makes the change, and that's... The center was that spot for a couple of years.
I'll get in touch with DCR and find out where they are with with their study, and maybe when they're going to be. I know they must be very close to being finished, and it'd be good to know when they're going to release the results so we can start moving ahead with things. But yeah, but for now, like for this winter, maybe for next winter, I think it's kind of like a. We just have to praise ourselves and hope that we don't...
I mean, we're kind of bystanders in the whole process anyway, but, you know, when I first joined the commission, the idea was we shouldn't do anything. Just, you know, it's a barrier beach, just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's completely different. It's, let's throw money at it, let's save the houses, save the beach.
Yeah, well, in this last case, the neighbors... fundraised for a lot of the sand, and we got the rest of the sand for free from Charles Beach. So I think you're right. Like overall, DCR, the state, and the city to some extent too, are not ready to spend a lot of resources out there. Just kind of trying to do what we can with minimal resources right now, because there's not a real appetite for throwing it into the ocean.
Yeah, right, because that's what happens.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so, but that's all I have on Plum Island. One other thing, though, under new business that if we could just briefly discuss is the rail trail along in front of the section that's been closed off in front of the wastewater treatment plant area where they needed the remediation, and we've had that temporary sort of like rocks down there to prevent the erosion because that whole area got kind of eroded out, and that's where the PCBs are, so that it's stabilized right now with the rocks and some geotextile fabric, and now we have funding actually to go ahead and do the remediation. They got 7 bids, and actually they came in lower apparently than what we were expecting, so we're looking, it's Jordy right now, Jordy Vining is working on getting a contract together with the low bidder, and they are hoping to do the remediation work this winter and into the spring. And then at that point, to restore the area, the way it's looking is just based on the kind of wave action that's there and the amount of erosion that was happening. That was an area that we were going to, you know, potentially try to restore and revegetate. It's basically impossible to do that now without sacrificing. I mean, you just can't, because the rail trail goes right there and we've lost all that material. So they're going to have to do a some sort of a revetment in that location. So they'll be coming forward with a new notice of intent at some point.
They have that much money?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what they got for money. It's possible. Yeah, they have a grant from, they have some CPA funds.
Yeah, right, yeah.
They have some money from the Merrimack Valley Planning Commission grants. I already mentioned a couple other. It's a Brownfields grant. So.
Okay. Along those lines, we were, they brought to our attention that they put the stone in by the American Yacht Club. It wasn't in the contract because they couldn't plant in that location.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then they were going to come back to us with right. what their solution was.
Right. I haven't heard from them. That's a good point. And we didn't continue it to another date specifically.
I think that wasn't that just an informative meeting that they came in to share with us? It was an actual.
No, it was.
I think they wanted to make maybe it was a minor change. Maybe they wanted to get us to accept it, and we didn't really want to, and we asked them to come back.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Was that at the really long meeting? Is that one of the ones? I'm trying to find my notes on that.
I think that was the August.
Was it August?
Yeah.
Okay. August 20th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought they were supposed to provide some additional information and come back.
Yeah, here it is. They were. So they requested modification to all the riprap. Commission disagrees riprap is necessary, wants it vegetated if possible. They haven't looked at enough alternatives, causes of the flooding, erosion, etc. They will come back with alternatives for dealing with this area. So yeah, I don't have any other notes about like when they were going to come back or. But they still have an open order of conditions on that, so they'll have to eventually get to it.
Yeah.
And is that the city
that's
coming back?
National Grid, right?
Yeah, National Grid.
Okay.
That's it. So, now I wonder why Andy's not here.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Let me just check out the hallway. Next item is RDA, it's Andy Port.
Isn't there a permit extension on there too?
Let me just text him. Yes, there is. For G Street.
Yeah, why don't we just do that?
Okay.
Unless we need Tom.
I think, Julia, you said Tom wasn't going
to. No, Tom is not going to be coming to this. He asked if it was okay
if
we did it without him.
Yeah,
let's just do it.
So, yeah, the permit doesn't actually expire till April. So he's asking for the extension early, but they are supposed to be anticipating already that they're not going to get the work done in time. And they want a 2-year extension. This is the single family home, same one. They had done the deck too big and the stairs were wrong. So they've modified that and gotten a change to their building permit to make those changes on site. But they need this extension to finish the work.
Do we want to, somebody want to just make a motion?
I'll move that we extend the permit for 2 years.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
we'll go home empty-handed.
Right, I like having things signed, it makes me feel good. Oh, and he's on his way, okay. Great.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it a good time to ask you a question?
Sure.
When you talk about decks and allowing sunshine underneath,
oh, yeah.
Is there something in that specifies the number of hours per day that the plant materials get sunshine?
No.
Because, you know, it depends on the angle of the sun.
Right.
So it could get sun, but it might be from 3 to 4.
Yeah, wait, what did you say? Yeah, because that we say for that one, elevate decks with appropriate height and spacing between plants to allow sufficient sunlight penetration. You're right. We don't say, we took this from another,
regulation. For a lot of time, the day the sun's going to be overhead and you know, even if it's fairly high off the ground, it's not going to be at an angle where the plants are getting sun.
Some of them, right?
Yeah.
But you figure it's not when it's overhead directly, the ones directly underneath will be getting. When it's at an angle, if it
what,
should
through spacing.
Yeah.
Like
I don't know. I think that there would be a balance where, you know, we've done one of these boardwalks or like a bridge thing at one of the marinas a few years ago. Tom Hughes was in charge of it, and it goes over the salt marsh, and he did this thing with the spacing between the planks and the sort of an open grid kind of a walkway lets enough light through that it keeps growing underneath.
Well,
a deck is totally different.
Yeah.
I guess at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter because they have a vegetation monitoring plan to ensure that, you know, that vegetation would be in place over 3 years, so.
Or the deck would, like, when we have second floor decks, those are high enough that sun can get through underneath to a certain point. So, I mean, maybe this is just saying if it's an elevated deck, it has to have appropriate height for the sunlight to get.
I mean, you would think that it might you should maybe specify the number of hours of daylight.
I don't know.
Interesting question.
I know. But I don't know if I want to specify the number of daylight, number of
but
hours.
It's sufficient just to say it gets daylight underneath. It's kind of, it could get
maybe
it for an hour.
We leave it to like whoever the landscape architect is on the project or the.
Yeah.
Well,
enough light to sustain the vegetation. I mean, that's ultimately what we're looking for.
I think you'd have to ask the wetland scientists to like basically certify that they think that that vegetation is going to survive with whatever the amount of light is, and then have them.
Well, then either it survives or it doesn't.
Right.
The hard question is, what if it doesn't? What do you do? Revoke the Not give them a certificate.
Right.
I mean, they'd have to show that the sunlight, they'd have to do some sort of, diagrammatic, presentation that shows that there enough sunlight will get through and convince the commission that. I don't know, I didn't write it. I just borrowed it from someone.
Well, if they're counting on that vegetation, like for a calculation though, I mean, in order to get the order conditions, they would need to demonstrate that the vegetation is in place, right?
And it survives.
Right, well, it would have. Right, so the vegetation monitoring plan would have at least.
Right, and then if it doesn't survive, what do we do?
Before the order conditions? Well, I think it's up to the applicant to figure out what to do. That's not our burden.
This is a good one to discuss, though, actually, because we have Plum Island, and a lot of Plum Island's in the V or the AO zone where people want to do this kind of work, this is going to come at us a lot, whereas right now it doesn't. They want to build the deck, we just care that it's elevated above base flood, not whether or not everything can grow underneath it. So are we all of a sudden requiring that vegetation has to grow underneath an entire area of a deck?
Well, and Tom Hughes is always saying, you know, that he can count the area under the deck because it gets enough sunlight, but if it's like 4 feet up, how much is it really getting under? It's
well, not right, and he only can get away with that when it's a second floor deck, mm-hmm, really.
Second floor makes a difference.
Or if it's high enough that maybe you get like a foot, like we were talking about the other day. This is interesting. I mean, they'd have to show... This is going to be tricky.
Well, I guess what we could do in going forward is we could say we're not going to approve that as part of the count unless you can demonstrate to our satisfaction that it's going to get enough light.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's yeah, not enough, yeah, yeah, you can't just say it. You know?
Yeah, yeah, that we want them to demonstrate that there will be enough sunlight to support whatever vegetation they're putting under there.
But do we?
Because it can depend on the vegetation too.
Yeah.
So do we want to be making that decision? I don't feel comfortable
with
that decision.
Wait, actually, I'm going back to this. So let's say you're in the AO zone out on Plum Island and you want to add a deck or an addition. Right now, you can do that under our certain provisions and 20% increase, etc. Under this, it says if you're in the AO zone, the following activities are basically prohibited. Construction of new structures, including buildings, sheds, garages, additions, substantial improvements to existing structures, supported on a solid foundation or proposed below the base flood elevation. So we're only not allowing stuff on solid foundations, which we don't anyway,
right,
on Plum Island, or proposed below base flood elevation, which we already don't anyway on Plum Island. So then all this is saying that is if you propose to add a deck below base flood elevation, you can do it as long as vegetation can grow underneath it. It actually gives people more flexibility than what they have now. In a way.
Okay, so the wetlands consultant comes in and says, I think there's enough light there for vegetation to grow. And so what do we do with that? Do we ask for a request, demand some more pointed analysis, or do we just take them?
You don't have to approve it. You may approve it if they convince you, if they demonstrate to the satisfaction of the commission that.
But we don't have any independent basis for making
right.
That.
Right.
You should be able to look up beach grass online and see what its sunlight requirements are.
Yeah, or well, they can and tell us.
Or they can.
Right.
Yeah.
They can, right. But you should be able to find out.
Yeah.
Very easily.
Right.
You would think it would be a plant that requires a lot of sun because of its natural environment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
it requires sun
probably
and water.
8 to 12 hours a day.
Right. And so sunlight penetration actually isn't the only factor. Water is important as well.
Right, and the deck doesn't have spaces between the boards that are sufficient for
rain.
Yeah.
Right.
Then it's not going to get any water unless the homeowner takes a hose and waters it.
And maybe we need to revise this to add height and spacing between sunlight and precipitation, penetration and precipitation.
Sounds a little like what we were trying to figure out with the Whittier Bridge there. For
yeah, I know.
Like, oh, it was very speculative.
Right. Hi, Andy.
Hi. Hi. My apologies.
It's okay.
Forgot that you had your meetings over here.
I was wondering if you were like going into the council chamber.
No, I was in the office. I actually was thinking, oh, Julie must have not had to come in the office before the meeting.
Oh.
I totally forgot that you have your meetings over here. So
yeah.
I apologize. I had to drive over from City Park.
That's okay.
So my apologies.
Oh, no worries. I should have reminded you. And we had such a short agenda that.
Oh, is this the officer you're waiting for me?
Basically.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about the ordinance, but we can go with you and then.
Okay, that'd be great. Only because I'm gonna go back to the city council.
As long as you don't impinge on the debate.
Yeah. No, not whatsoever. I'm supportive. So don't leave my apologies. Then I didn't realize that was going something to do. So I'm here tonight, basically, to ask for your permission for something very simple for the city, which is placing some grass in the areas that we have already put cordoned off as no parking areas for the future park expansion. There's several different reasons we're doing it. The primary one is we want people to get used to that as park space, and not like decades ago where the downtown became dependent on parking on the central waterfront. We didn't want businesses to start complaining, saying, let's keep all that parking there. We wanted people to make the transition early. So that combined with, of course, the fact that there's a parking garage, and that's where we want people to park. Jordy Vining, myself, Mike Hennessy from the Parks Department, Lisa Reed, the mayor, Matt Coogan, we met together with Rich Jones, a parking clerk. We've already been to the Redevelopment Authority. They approved last week both the funding for this and the permission to go on the property and do the work. They had already agreed to the areas to be cordoned off for no parking. They're also expected to be dissolved, you know, relatively soon. I would definitely expect before the end of the calendar year by the state legislature. But all this land is eventually going to be an Article 97 protection as a result of the dissolution of the NRA. The special act calls for that. So this will all be future park space. But the areas, what we're trying to do is get some grass stabilized in those areas so that they can be at least viable park space, maybe for, you know, people to sit on when there's concert overflows and things like that, to really at least make use of it during the next season. So we're trying to get some grass growing now so that in the spring the Parks Department has less work to do.
So the grass that you're putting in, it's specifically in these red shaded areas on your...
Correct. We're actually, there's a slightly larger area that we had actually cordoned off. We're doing all of that area with the exception of a portion of where the docks are typically stored. You probably know that from experience.
Yeah, okay, but what you're actually going to see is a big square or rectangular...
Yeah, the permanent design of that, I don't know if I... When I sent you the drawing, if you can see the yellow dotted line on there, that's the what we've been referring to as the spine, approximately the location of the bike path going on the outside edge. I put that on there just for illustrative purposes for the Redevelopment Authority, but for yours as well. It happens to show, what we're trying to do is, without altering the parking lot layout and doing some things that are very much more complicated or creating more issues for other departments like parking or public services, we tried to basically expand the no parking areas and turn it into park space, the areas that are roughly, you know, consistent with the boundaries of that dotted line. We didn't follow it exactly, if you can see on the east lot slightly, because we were trying to match existing bays, but we're basically trying to block off those areas consistent without altering. There's a few other factors at play, like where the parking meters are, where the handicap spaces are, and where the docks get stored. So those are some of the adjustments we made. But we're basically trying to get people used to the idea that this is park space. It's not going to come back as parking. To get used to the garages, where you go if you know there's not enough spaces here, and that it'd actually be viable space for next spring and summer season. We'll talk more about, you know, can we put any amenities in there, but we're trying to spend a little bit of money to make it, you know, big bang for our buck for short money so that it's useful for the next season or two, because it's probably going to take that long at least before Jordy and I can get together, you know, the funds for the park design and construction. So we figure at least we'll try to make it viable during that time frame.
One question I had is in the work to be done for this project, is it, are you digging up any?
No, it's a great question, actually. No, and actually there is an irrigation line, one extension being put in, but it's actually being done in the topsoil they're putting in just within that 6 inches, because we don't want to do any excavation. We want to, I think, programmatically, you know, experience-wise, we'd like to basically reserve that work until we actually do the work for the park itself, the permanent design, rather than doing it multiple times or dealing with the AOL and, you know, DEP, you know, like,
yeah,
it's a lot to deal with. So
there's also a question of what's underneath that parking lot.
I would expect because we've talked about for the future park having some fill added in there beyond what's being added right now, we plan on adding some fill, so my expectation in the future is that most of the excavation work that's associated with the park expansion will be where the parking lot area is, because we'll have to put in some proper drainage in there, some utility runs in different locations, but I would expect there to be slightly less excavation or minimized where the park space is, just because we're adding fill for
a portion of that.
Of course, accessibility needs to be kept, so that we gotta, there's some, there'll only be gradual changes in certain areas, but.
Have they done any of the studies yet on this area for the things that might lie beneath the surface?
Yeah, there have been a number of studies on both lots, actually both sides. So there's a number of different plans showing where the test pits are, right, where the activities and use limitations are. And it's, you know, it's pretty extensive, so we're going to have an LSP, you know, overseeing the design of that and the construction aspect. That'll be a cost pool in another project.
But for this,
I talked about that specific issue with Mike Hennessy, and he agreed that they're going to put the irrigation line in that 6 inches there, not, you know, excavating anything below that, so that they don't have to run into that is an issue. So.
Andy, do you think the plan is to sort of just add soil into this area that will eventually...
It's literally just bringing in and adding it on top. And
no, I mean that like in the future when...
So I think what they'll probably end up doing is, depending on, you know, how things look at that point, they'll scrape off the soil here, reuse that where it can be used, but there'll be other things added in these places, like there'll be an actual pedestrian path where, I don't know if you're familiar with Ferry Wharf Way, I know you're probably familiar with Ferry Wharf Way, but Ferry Wharf Way basically is a imaginary way right now that doesn't exist on the ground, but it's required by a settlement agreement to be constructed between Market Square and the River's Edge, where there's an opening already in the bulkhead and the pedestrian walkway there on the harbor walk. So there'll be a brick walkway in there, matching all the other ways in that area. There'll be, you know, other park amenities we have to basically flush out with more of a charrette and design process. But there'll basically be probably a little bit of fill added underneath that. That'll probably be reused in some landscaped areas, depending on, you know, where we put the rest of the park amenities. The grass itself, obviously, will be just sort of sacrificial, but it'll be there at least for a couple seasons, probably. And again, this is just trying to, you know, short money, relatively speaking, for some benefit.
Is there going to be fencing around it to prevent cars from who are parking in the area around it?
Yeah, actually, for several reasons, actually, we've talked about adding some poles and ropes basically between them, not just for getting, you know, for that situation, but also because I guess people backing out of their cars. It's kind of similar to the Green Street parking lot and the senior center here. I actually had, when I came to a meeting last week, somebody bumped into one of the curbs over there. So
yeah,
there's people, especially with the snow, you know, storms and things like that, will end up backing into some of those things. So even though we're sort of using short money to do the boulders, we don't think that's sufficient for several reasons. So for several reasons, we're thinking about basically adding a rope, you know, that might be adjusted when there's some sort of festival or something like that, but we have a similar concern.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where these arcs are, the dotted arcs, so on the water side of those in the future, what you're anticipating is that's all going to be park?
Correct. The only area off of this that might be adjusted slightly is just that very corner right there that's just outside the arc. And that's just because it's possibly associated with the redesign of that parking lot. But all of the area above that or sort of inside of those arcs otherwise will be park space. And there's actually, it's possible depending on the configuration of the parking lot that a portion of the actual grass or tree space will be, you know, slightly beyond or in the parking area side of that arc. But that corner there is the only piece that might be in flux going forward.
And when you say relocate permit parking area, that just means that the place behind the customs house will now be permitted?
Yeah, sorry, I apologize. I probably should have taken off some labels you don't need to see, but these labels were actually just for the parking program. They were used partly to illustrate for members of the general public, the city council, the parking clerks, where we were relocating handicap spaces from along the boardwalk to another accessible location along the boardwalk. And the issue of permit parkers, because so many of them are allowed to park in the east lot and they're essentially being displaced from the area we've cordoned off, the idea is that they'd be able to park in that space over there where there was some restrictions, I guess, before. And that now there's been an adjustment where some of those folks can actually park in the garage as well to accommodate or offset the fact that we've displaced some of those parking spaces. So that was the whole intention in the first place, was to take these spaces and put them in the garage. So this has been programmatically doing that, but that label is because we were trying to address the parking program adjustments in this as well.
And Parks is going to maintain it, or DPS?
Like Parks will maintain it. Yeah, yeah. The Parks Department itself. And although there's been debate over the years about how much money will be spent, you know, like, it, because it has so much of a focal point, it's going to get the attention, even if it's a temporary improvement. So you know, we'll see what happens next spring. But at least people will be able to sit here, you know, listen to concerts or whatnot, festivals, you know, until we get to something more permanent. The NRA has about $500,000 right now. So when that money gets transferred to the city, I imagine the first of that's going to have to go towards anything that, because it's been divided up, I guess, in terms of where the money goes. But we're going to have to spend the first allotment of that money towards the park on design before we can get, you know, bid documents ready. So and of course we could have some community input on the amenities and things like that. So.
So the topsoil is going to go in, and then the sod on top of that. Is that going to happen this all basically at the same time, or?
Yeah, they're going to, the next couple of weeks, they want to get it done. So that fall, it's a good time for them to do it. And they really want to rush to get that done. So long story short, we got finalized internally with what we were trying to do with the space more recently. So even though it had been on the radar for some time with the garage opening. So because of that, Mike Hennessy put together a cost estimate for it. I went to the redevelopment authority meeting last week. They had already approved the cordoning off of the spaces from a prior meeting I had been to. But at this one, they not only approved of the grass to be done in there as well, but also appropriated the funds from that, from their own sources. So.
I don't think there's any storm drains out of that location at this point. Basins or drop inlets?
No, but it is one of the major cost components that will be for the park design in the future. We'll be addressing that. Whether we not we use low impact development techniques, there's still going to be something to deal with drainage, because there's issues with drainage with Market Square that we're going to have to keep in mind.
I was just thinking if there was any need for temporary sediment controls, but it sounds like they're.
Yeah, they can add a silt sock around the outside edge just until the grass stabilizes, if that's something that's...
It's going to be sod, though, right?
It's going to be sod, yeah.
So it'll be immediate.
It's not sod. They're going to seed it. They're not putting down sod. It's going to be seeded.
Okay.
Mike Hennessy had spoken to John Eric White, the city engineer, and he had suggested that we just add something at catch basins, but my perception of that is that it doesn't really capture the area where a typical parking lot would.
Mm-hmm.
So my thinking is that they should just add it on the outside edge.
What is the edge treatment going to be if it's being planted and you've got this loam?
Right, there's no plan right now for curbing or anything. It's basically going to be tapered down.
Just tapered down?
Yeah, so we don't have any, there wasn't, you know, that would add substantially to the cost depending on what we do.
Right.
And decide to put in like timbers or anything like that,
right.
You know, soft.
Okay.
So so right now there isn't any amenity like that.
Yeah.
The focus was mainly on grass, but it's not the greatest edge, but you know, obviously the bike path will be a better edge when we get to the permit.
But so given that, then maybe a silt sock around it while it's being
that
stabilized.
Would make the most sense to me, just because there isn't any catchment area.
You don't want
area.
It washing out before you've got anything
right.
going on it.
Right, right, especially if there's heavy rain.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If we get dry weather, you know, but
right, okay.
Yeah, definitely. Because I'm afraid otherwise, like you said, heavy rain, it might just all...
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And it's a hard surface, so it's, you know, it's just going to go south.
Yeah, that's not good.
Water's not going to infiltrate, you know, as much. So.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you're planning to, like, scarify that top, but it sounds like this is such a temporary nature, you don't even want to deal with what's there.
Yeah,
now,
the approach is very temporary nature, kind of low cost, so, and again, wanting to avoid the excavation issues entirely.
Yeah.
So
it's just literally... push it out on top of what's there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and again, it's you know, well, people must say, oh, it's not, you know, I do this, you know. We'll have arguments on both sides. Some people are still saying put the parking back. Some people will be saying it's not enough. You know, but we're trying to balance out short-term costs versus where the money could go in the long run to the permanent park. So we don't want to spend like $100,000 or zero.
Right.
So it's...
Right. Yeah.
Makes sense.
So... I guess that would be a -3 then, right, with a condition of the erosion control?
Yeah, exactly.
We could do that in a -3.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you could just, you know, I'll reiterate it, but if you could just specify the silt sock around the outside edge, I'll pass on to Mike Hennessy, and then we'll expect to see that out there when they start doing the work.
Yeah.
Sounded like a motion.
I was just confirming it, so I wanted to make sure we're all through with questions first.
Yeah. Any other questions on this? Any motions?
Motion issue a -3 with the condition of the perimeter control silt sock.
Second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Andy, I have a question for you, if you don't mind. On the parking garage itself, it seems to be begging for a white paint on it.
My apologies for that story. Yeah. There were a lot of, unfortunately, it's a project that was evolving constantly. So unfortunately, there were some programmatic adjustments that were literally happening after the garage opened. So in part, it is something we could have partly foreseen, but also because we weren't really sure what was happening with both levels, there was debate about aesthetics and things like that. So we are, short answer is, we are actually adding two peace signs to the building, blade signs sticking out. One will be on Merrimack Street at the corner, the other one will be on Tickle Street. But with all the various, debates about different features and, aspects of the project, it's one of those things that never got nailed down early. So we are adding those signs. I actually met this morning with the electrician to deal with the uplighting fixtures to point towards them. The sign manufacturer is getting that put together. So it's a little late, compared to the opening garage, but they'll be up there. And we think with the addition of the peas, I don't know if you've noticed, but on the street surrounding, we've added some peas, that will be sufficient now to clearly identify that and draw people to that location rather than the central waterfront. So
yeah, that's good, and I'm glad to hear that, because it seems like if you're not familiar, if you're not like
we completely
really know,
agree.
You drive right past it.
Yeah, it's funny, the people have said to us, they're like, we don't recognize it as a garage, so that was one of the complaints we got, was you have to put a P on it, it's not enough to have public parking in the silver, first of all, it's not the right angle, but also, people don't even see it and think, oh, that's a garage,
And then people do see the one further down for Green Street.
Yeah.
Right.
They look right past it. I was behind someone
going.
The other day, they slowed down, and then they sped up and went into Green Street.
Yeah. There's that one face on the, there's a bump out. As you're coming down Merrimack, going right in front of the...
That was actually part of the issue. We were originally thinking of putting a P there. Our concern there was because there's an entrance on Merrimack Street that comes before the main entrance, which is off of Tickle. And we didn't want to draw people into that entrance by having it so early on the facade, because everybody, their instinct would be, oh, I'll just go in here. But that entrance actually does not go up to the rest of the garage.
Oh.
It's only a three-quarter level. So that was part of the sort of endless debate about different features and what to do. So it was finally established really after the garage opened how many people were going to get passes to park in the lower level, which is restricted now to those passes. So that would avoid the issue of people not knowing it's full, backing out, and having to go around again. So there's multiple facets of this project that have been difficult, to make it work. But one of them is that we have two levels or two entrances that aren't connected, and so that was part of the reason why we decided to actually push that P all the way down to the corner at Tickle Street, so that the instinct for people is to go to the P and follow the arrow that will actually be on the P sign, pointing to go up Tickle Street, so that there won't be this confusion of going in the wrong entrance, because it actually says when we originally designed it was public parking. The entrance there, so
right.
Change of course.
And it's a sharp corner, so for people who are driving, they see the sign, but they don't see the entrance, they have to look up Tickle Street to be like, oh, there.
Exactly.
But then they might just decide not to turn.
Yeah. Exactly.
Too late.
Yeah, so on the building, you're going to see it actually as you come off of Route 1 at this point. You'll actually see on the building the P, there'll be an arrow underneath it pointing with an arrow. So as you get closer, there's no way you'll be able to miss it. And it'll be internally illuminated, so at night, that'll be an issue either. So
good. Just something I kept wondering as I'm driving by. I'm like, they need more blue peas on that.
Yeah, totally agree with you. It's amazing how long it takes to get certain things done. So, but yeah, it's in progress, and I'd say like, unfortunately, about a month from now it'll be finished with the lighting and the fixture up. So
great.
So. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks,
you
Six Bain Lane has been another request for continuation.
Yes, they said that they finally have conservation mooring design complete and Natural Heritage has been satisfied, and they are hoping that Natural Heritage might complete their review in 30 days and they could come in on the November 19th hearing. So they're asking continue to the November 19th hearing.
Kind of missed a season, didn't they?
Yeah.
But is there a motion?
It's been on the agenda for a long time.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Now, if we're going to do land subject to coastal storm flowage.
Yeah, I think we should get back to this. So, we were, all right, I received some comments from Doug, and I made those changes. I'm editing sort of a hard copy right now, and whatever other changes that we make tonight, I'll just add into the document. But, by the way, the one of your comments, Doug, was that it starts with two.
I didn't see a one.
Oh, okay, but I think the one is on there for preamble. That's what I printed out.
Oh, okay.
The one is preamble.
I had a bullet. I didn't have a one.
Oh, really?
One, the version that I got electronically.
Okay. Maybe you have an older, maybe I gave
you. Well, it's the one that you sent most recently.
Okay. That's funny. Well, I'll double check to make sure that it still looks like this. A couple other like typos. Dave found one. And I think Joe found a couple. And one of them was on the last page, notwithstanding the provisions of 1-8 above, but actually, or maybe you found this one, it's not 1-8, it's actually 1-9, but it's really what we don't want to be saying 1-9, we want to be saying 8-H.
Yeah, it's a little easier that way.
Yeah, that makes more sense. But then, anybody else have any comments, or do we want to just keep talking about what we were?
Is it A through H or F, G, and H? That's where the enumerated prohibitions are.
True, but there are the performance standards start with A. So I think the exceptions should apply to all the performance standards, even though the more specific ones are for velocity zone and AO zone. These are still performance standards they have to meet. So in other words, if they want to get, if let's say the boardwalk, or not the boardwalk, but the rail trail doesn't want to have to abide by this 40 inches by 2070, then their exception is in the back. Because maybe it's not in the AO zone or the B zone.
Have you heard anything from any of the, like the Tom Hughes type,
Tom emailed today and said, and asked if he could get a copy, and I told him it's on our website, and he said that he couldn't come to the meeting tonight, that he would try to get us comments.
So we're not going to finalize this tonight?
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't have to. We can continue. Joe and Steve aren't here. We can wait for more comments. No one from the public showed up, but we can always wait for more comments from more people. I did... We had a staff meeting today, and I had already sent this to Andy and the mayor's assistant and everybody at City Hall just to let them know that this is what we were working on. And Jordy had given us his comments on it, and we incorporated those at the last meeting. Today, Andy said that everyone thinks it's fine, it's great, but that we should just make sure that Goldman and Page takes a look at it. Not necessarily before you vote on it, but just, I'll send it, he said, because they can
so
take
it sounds
a long time.
Though that you feel that the comment period is sort of incomplete at this point.
I don't know that it's incomplete. I think, well, this is the first hearing that the public notice has been out in the paper for. So this would be the first public hearing that you all could take a vote on it. If you wanted to adopt the regulations right now, you could do that tonight. I would still send a copy to Copeland and Page and ask them to review it for consistency with our ordinance. And Andy said, don't hold up the commission in voting on this because of Copeland and Page, because KMP can take forever. And we don't necessarily want to wait that long for them. But if you all want to continue so that Joe and Steve could be here, I mean, I don't know when the next time everyone will be
right
in the same places.
Whatever. I mean, we're all kind of tired of it, but
right.
Yeah,
I know.
The only thing I was just surprised that that Tom or any of the other representatives of applicants who are often here hadn't jumped in with anything, because I know in other times they have, and sometimes it's clear that they just want to make it as weak as possible, but other times there have been valid questions. But, I mean, since this is regulation, we can change it whenever we want if we feel we've made like...
I mean, I'm not looking...
But there's nothing in it that I've seen.
I'm not looking forward to an extended dialogue
with
more commenters.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure the comments would be valuable.
Do you want to wait another hearing and see if we get comments in from... consultants, developers, you know, anyone else in the...
I think Tom will probably be the only one. Yeah, that'd be my guess.
Yeah.
Plus Lisa Mead or somebody in her office gets involved.
I mean, if he's gonna give us some comments, it would... I guess I don't really feel comfortable saying, okay, we adopted it, Tom. So
I think the way we discussed it last time was that we were going to wait for Joe. I think you were saying that we're going to wait for Joe before we vote on it.
Hypothetically speaking, let's just say that we continue until the next meeting and get a comment or two from Tom Hughes or whatever. But then let's say Dan isn't here and Doug's not here at the next meeting, but Joe and Steve are here.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable? Is everyone here right now comfortable with this being voted on at the next meeting with, you know, the typos being fixed and any other...
I'm comfortable with where it stands right now. I mean, I've been through it a bunch of times and I don't really want to keep doing that.
I am too. I have just a couple of minor comments in red line that I was going to send along.
Okay.
I guess if that's...
Yeah, send them to me.
If that's okay, just send an email.
Send them to me by email, and then I'll make those changes too. And then maybe what will happen is I'll get them all on a new document. I'll send it back out. You don't have to review it in detail again. Just know that I made everybody's edits. And and unless there's something substantive in your comments that we can talk about at the next meeting, I'll make everyone's edits. We'll have a clean copy. Tom can show up and give us his thoughts.
Yeah, I'd be comfortable even if these didn't get incorporated.
Okay.
So if I'm not at the next hearing, I'm comfortable with moving forward with it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I feel fine with it as it is.
Right.
Because it kind of just states it and it doesn't go overboard or underboard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so should we continue to November 5th, at which point we'll have a clean, revised copy to be voted on? Okay.
Motion to continue to the next hearing?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And in the meantime, I'll send it to Colton and Page, and maybe they'll get back to us, maybe they won't, but at least they'll have it.
I guess on the agenda, we haven't been carrying that 227, the one that we visited. He was going to come in with an RDA for his swimming pool and deck.
Right.
And I guess he hasn't.
He has not. I haven't heard
of him. I guess I'm only bringing it up so that we don't forget about it.
But I did get a phone call from his wife after that meeting on site. And she she came into the office and wanted to confirm the flood zone and a couple other little things, administrative things. So I believe they are working on putting it together. That's what it looked like to me. And I don't know whether they're working with Tom Hughes on that or not. But I gave her some additional advice on how to assemble everything. So we'll see. If not, we know where to find them.
Are we... is there anything happening with the other pool? With the in the wetlands, the messy divorce and all that stuff?
No, I haven't heard from them. And I went out there the other day, and nobody was home, and I didn't feel comfortable just walking together. I was tempted, but I'm meaning to go out there and knock on the door when someone's home and ask to go take a look and ask them where they are with it. So I'll have to get back out there and just try again.
Yeah, I mean, don't put yourself in a
I'm happy to do it now that we've met her and everything.
But you never know with situations like this, people can, if they're having troubles, you know.
Right. It's very awkward.
It did seem like there was some real tension going on in that situation, so I just, I think I'd probably try and be careful.
Yeah, okay. I will. Yeah. I will not wander back there by myself without permission. So yeah, I'll try again on that and give you an update. And if, you know, if worse comes to worse, I'll send them another notice in the mail because I don't have her phone number to get in touch with her. So I will just, we'll work on that one.
I mean, we kind of joked about it, but we may want to consider a drone at some point. I mean, they're easy to fly. They're not very expensive.
Yeah, for when we need one. Well, I know DPS has one, so maybe we could just use theirs. Maybe we could ask them if they would. But I'm happy to buy one for us with our
own. They're short money. They're not.
Yeah, what do you think they cost?
Well, they vary. There's a ton of them out there.
Yeah.
Get a decent one for under $500.
Maybe we should do that.
And then who would be operating?
You know what? Talk to Ethan about it. He's got five of them.
Okay.
And see, maybe he's even got one he'd like to offload.
Okay. I will ask Ethan. You know, now that for something like this, I don't want to be out there. I guess I don't want to be out flying the thing over Plum Island and enforcing everybody on everything all day long, because that would really be what would happen, unless we hired an intern who could do that. But for situations like this or other, you know, things where we really need to see from above.
I mean, if there are situations where you're not sure what's going on in the back of the wad, and you know, or maybe it's just hard to get to because there's, you know, wet areas and you want to have a peek and see what's going on. I don't know.
Just, I totally agree. Okay.
Maybe you could talk to DPS about their experience, what they have, what they might buy.
Yep.
If they're going to do it over again. And if there's a person that can operate it.
Yeah.
I mean,
Joe can operate it.
Yeah, Joe could do it.
Yeah.
Joe would love to do it.
I hope he would.
Well, that's fine. Especially since he's not here.
He might operate it more than I want him to operate it.
You have to ask twice.
All right.
But I mean, in the same time, you're asking them, maybe ask them in this particular case if they could send that over there.
Yeah, right. I can ask Jamie if he can do that.
And the other thing, if you do talk to Ethan, he may know, you know, what kind of protection does a property owner have about these things flying around in the space above their property.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sure it's a very good point.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that invading the privacy to fly over someone's house, take a picture, and then use it against them?
Depends on what you take a picture of.
Right.
And if you have a court order.
I know.
Stay away from their bedroom
windows. This could get trouble. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can give me like a badge.
Ethan's a licensed pilot, and he flies out of Plum Island, so he knows all the airport rules.
Yeah, there are rules.
Sure.
Flying next to airports, and there's a lot of rules that go on, and licensing that goes.
Plum Island Airport, really, it's not protected airspace, so as you're not, like, flying around other planes, you're okay.
Yeah,
I can see myself standing at the end of Don't Run Drive with the remote control and having it fly over everybody's backyards and people driving by. No, that would not. I would not.
Well,
like
for
that.
This one, like, you could park at our little parking trailhead on Hale Street now,
yeah.
the new one.
Yeah.
And it's right there. So
yeah.
you could
True.
Comfortably be in public space,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just fly out and around and then back.
Yeah. But I remember one sidewalk we did, I think
yeah.
it was Perkins Way or Perkins. It was a swampy area, and there were supposedly upland areas in the very back.
Yeah, I remember.
And nobody wanted to go in
remember
there.
Remember that? It was so
nobody
thick.
Did go in there.
No, but we kind of wanted to see what was back.
And that would have been a great
yeah.
use for that.
Yeah.
Because it was just pretty, it was really inaccessible.
It was. There have been other sites like that too, actually. Okay. I'll talk to Jamie at DPS and I'll ask Ethan about it as well.
Okay, anything else? Or any motions?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Very good.
When's Joe coming back?
He'll be back for the next meeting.
Next meeting?
I don't know when he actually gets back from Hawaii.
Okay.
I think he left. He left like right after our last meeting, didn't he? Left the Saturday.
I think so.
We could go Saturday. So he's already been gone. I think over a week.
Wow.
Did he compete in the Ironman Championships there last weekend?
Was that where they were?
Yeah, in Hawaii.
Oh, then he definitely did. I'm sure.
We should be reading about him soon.
That's amazing.
Go Joe. I think he's having fun on Maui. All right.